I knew this would happen, Terry said gloomily, as he staggered down the murderously tight spiral staircase holding Theo's feet. We should have put up a sign. Didn't I say we should put up a sign? Slow down, Molly said, edging down backwards with Theo's head cradled in her arms. You nearly pushed me over. I said, if we put up a sign, they won't be able to sue. I asked the lawyers about it before we signed the paperwork, and they said, and now, as soon as this idiot wakes up, what's the first thing he's going to do? Off to the nearest lawyer like a bullet out of a gun, and we'll be liable. I'm sure he'll do no such thing, Molly said, as they reached the landing. Put him down. I need a breather. Theo was still fast asleep and smiling. The Barringtons sat on the floor with their backs to the wall and gasped for air. There were still 37 flights to go. Your turn for the head end, Molly pointed out. We could pitch him out of a window, Terry said quietly. Nobody would know, and in 5 minutes those horrible creatures out there would have eaten him, and his wife gave him a shocked look, and he shrugged. Sorry, he said, just thinking aloud. You're right, Molly said firmly. We need to go home. This place is doing bad things to us. Terry nodded. He can sue us till he's blue in the face if we're back home, he said. I bet you, the jurisdictional issues. Come on, Molly said. Next lot of stairs. Theo's journey down the stairs of the Tower of Snorgond was not uneventful, and it was probably just as well that he slept through it. When at last they reached the ground floor, he was still smiling. They dumped him onto the chaise longue and collapsed on the sofa. They're still out there, Molly said. Terry looked, then mumbled the obscuring spell so he wouldn't have to see. There's more of them, he said. A lot more. Which was entirely true. The entire goblin nation, every single journalist and civil servant in Elvenholm, which amounts to roughly the same thing, a substantial contingent of dwarves who'd just got around to reading the eviction notice served by John the lawyer. King Mordak, King Drain, and the High Elf had held an impromptu summit conference, sheltering from the rays of the beautiful, stroke, horrible yellow face, under the shade of the Barrington satellite dish. And although the summit conference had achieved as much as all summer conferences elsewhere always do, nobody had killed or eaten anybody else, which was, in itself, an unimaginable leap forward in the diplomatic history of the realms. Meanwhile, a pale-looking young woman was going round pestering newspaper editors, and a chubby young human was searching in vain for a door to knock at. "You're wasting your time," said Miss White. "There's got to be a door," John replied. "Buildings have doors, otherwise where's the point of them?"
"I read about it," Miss White said.
John looked at her.
"I remember you," he said. "You bought my law books."
Quite. So you'll believe me when I tell you that I have actually read Thrandyfuel's longer elvish history. And it says in there how the wizard who built this thing designed it without any doors specifically so as to frustrate process service. For some reason, people kept wanting to sue him, and he'd had enough.
Fancy that, John said.
But there's got to be a way of getting their attention.
Try the bell.
There isn't a bell. Miss White pointed. What's that then? John looked closely. It's a small round button made of some material I've never seen before, set into a small rectangular brass plate. Not, he added, a bell. Otherwise, sorry, Ms. White conceded, it's, a magic bell. Here, let me. She pressed the button. Nothing happened. John sighed. Pressing the button, Ms. White explained, causes a bell to ring inside the tower. It's magic. Of course it is. John counted to 10 under his breath. Doesn't seem to be working. It's a big tower. It'll take them a long time to get to the door. John looked at her. What are you doing here anyway? I thought you worked for King Drain. You're the lawyer. That's me. She looked thoughtfully at him. I might just need you for something, she said. Tell me, are you any good at extradition law? Yes, John said. Never heard of it, but that's not a problem. I can look it up. Why? Tell you later. No, I was on my way somewhere and I saw all these people milling around and I thought, safety in numbers. Are you scared of something? Me? Good Lord, no. And then I saw you prodding and poking about, and I said to myself, there's a man looking for a door, only he's wasting his time. Because I happen to know, yes, I'm scared all right. Trouble is, there's nothing anyone can do about it. John gave her a sad look. Sure? She grinned. Well, maybe. I seem to remember you're persistent, resourceful, and fundamentally dishonest, so maybe you might be able to do something after all. It all depends on exactly what sort of shit I find myself ankle deep in. I'll keep you posted. Try the bell again. But I just try it again. John did as he was told. Look, he said, it obviously doesn't... Oh, hello. An angry bald head was scowling at him out of the wall. What do you want? I think he wants to serve you with a writ, Ms. White said helpfully, and stepped back out of the way. The angry bald head grew into an angry head and torso. John stood his ground, mostly because his feet wouldn't move. No, I don't, he said. Really, I just want to ask you a few questions, that's all. The angry man glowered at him. I'm busy. Push off. Just a few minutes of your time? Jesus, said the angry man. Look, whatever it is, we don't want it, all right? We're fine for life insurance and religion, and you can see for yourself double glazing is out of the question. I'm not selling anything, John said. All I want is some answers. It's very important, please. The magic word. Or maybe Terry Barrington saw in John's eyes, as in a mirror, a man at the very furthest extent of his rope. In any event, he hesitated, then stepped out of the wall, which closed behind him like a black mercury curtain. What? John took a deep breath. Where are you from, exactly? What are you, the census or something? I'm a lawyer, John replied, and before Terry could tell him what he thought about that, quickly added, I'm a lawyer and recently a weird man hired me to evict the goblins and the dwarves, and I got to thinking, why would anyone want to do that? Terry grinned at him. You met any of them? Oh, yes. Then that'll be why, John nodded. They make you feel uncomfortable.
Too bloody right. Horrible little buggers with faces like a bomb going off in a pet shop.
If the council or someone's moving them on, bloody good job. That's what I say.
The faint glimmer at the back of John's mind turned into a glow.
They, what's that elvish expression, lower the tone of the neighbourhood?
Terry laughed.
Any lower, you could flood it and sail boats on it.
So, is that right then? They're getting shot of them.
To go back to my original question, John said, am I right in thinking you're not, local?
You bet, Terry said. We're from Putney.
Well, Molly, that's my wife. She's from Dunstable, originally.
Then we both lived in Hounslow for a while. But when the kids were grown up...
Excuse me, John interrupted gently. These places, they're not in the realms, are they?
Absolutely not.
I see. So there are... He took another deep breath. Other places.
Yes, thank God. Decent, same places with shops and Wi-Fi, where you can buy stuff, and the locals don't look like bad CGI.
No offence, he added generously.
Obviously, you people like it here.
That's fine. Just not everyone's cup of tea, is what I'm saying.
Of course, John said quickly. Tell me, how did you get here?
Terry pursed his lips.
Now, actually, that's a bloody good question. The bloke who sold us this place did explain, but it was like when someone tells you about Einstein in a pub. You think it's clear as crystal, and 5 minutes later it's all gone out of your head. Something to do with multiverse theory, I think. Or string theory, some theory, anyhow. We came through a donut.
John nodded slowly.
I don't actually know that word, he said, but I'm guessing it's some sort of magic gateway or portal.
Is that about right? Terry hesitated before answering.
Yeah, sort of, he said, in context, like.
That's what I thought, John said. And there are more like you, more people from Putney living here?
Not from Putney as such, but yeah, people like us.
Well, more like us than you lot, that's for bloody sure.
And they all bought their homes from the same man?
Terry shrugged.
I guess so. I think he'd sort of cornered the market.
Because of the donut thing. He's the only one with the technology. Though I imagine when the patent, or whatever it is, runs out, there'll be loads of them at it.
A thought, completely new and unanticipated, floated into Terry's mind.
Bit of a blow for your lot, that'd be.
Hmm.
Well, it would be, Terry said sagely. I mean, look at the Dordogne. When Rita and Phil Arkwright moved there in 96, they were the only Brits for miles, and everything was dirt cheap and unspoiled. Now there's expats as far as the eye can see, and none of the locals can afford to live there anymore, which is a real cow when it comes to getting a plumber or a builder, and as for getting the septic tank emptied.
You see, John said, I think the weird man who hired me to drive out the goblins and the dwarves wants their lands so he can sell it to, people like you. And, no offence, I'm not sure that'd be a very good thing.
Terry Barrington was a fair man, deep down.
Maybe not, he said. Still, Doesn't matter a stuff to us because we're leaving.
Directly behind him, where John couldn't see, someone coughed gently.
Excuse me.
What?
Oh, it's him. Terry turned so that all John could see was the back of his head.
What?
The sheer black wall rippled, and a different human came out, with Terry following. He was about as nondescript-looking as is possible to be while actually remaining visible, and he had an ugly bruise on his forehead.
I didn't mean to eavesdrop, said the new human. Oh, and thanks for the use of your phone, by the way.
But did I just hear you say you're leaving?
That's right.
Leaving the realms?
Yep. Going back to London.
Well, we thought maybe, sorry, because Molly's sister June...
No, you aren't, the new human said sadly.
Sorry.